Everyone, my name is William Porter. Welcome to this edition of Storytelling Time. This podcast is sponsored by Every.Black, Entrepreneurs Podcasting Network. Our foundation scripture today comes from Genesis chapter 15 and verse 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, "Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward." The Storytelling Time podcast this week is the fourth story taken from the fourth chapter of the book, Miracles in the Lives of Ordinary People, entitled Healing with a Purpose. The title of the podcast today is Everett's Reward. Before we get to our story today, I want to say that we are rapidly coming to a close of the book challenge that was established 1 year ago from this June. I've offered many suggestions as to how you can best start the writing of your book. Whether you've developed your manuscript or not, the exciting thing is that it's never too late. You can start right now. And as I've said on more recent podcasts, it starts first in your mind. We have two more editions of storytelling on these podcasts before this challenge is over, and today's podcast is one of them. I'd like to use the first part of the show today to go back almost 1 year ago and replay the introduction to that first podcast in this series, the one that formally initiated the current book writing challenge. After a break, we will relive a portion of that podcast. Then continue with our story of the week. Welcome to this first podcast of Storytelling Time. Today, I want my focus to be on you and how you can become possibly an author. And when someone talks to me about writing and I tell people many times that I am an author, they let me know that it's very hard. And I don't know where they get their information from, but people just don't like to write. And they see writers as people who have done something that's almost impossible to do by at least the common person. But the fact of the matter is that it's not hard. But it does take work and it takes time. In my past career, I was a college professor. I worked for 30 years at a small liberal arts institution. And during that time, I had very little time to do anything other than my assigned duties, which included teaching and going to committee meetings and doing writing. Now, the writing that I did turned out to be beneficial to me as far as what I'm doing now, as far as being an author. But at that time, it was very difficult for me to do anything other than what I was assigned to do. And so I understand that if you don't have the time to write, that might be a good reason not to write, because it does require a great deal of time. But you can always insert the time that you need to do whatever it is that you want. You know, we tend to do what we want anyway. We tend to make time for it. And so if you're really interested in writing professionally, becoming an author, you can do it. It's not that difficult at all. And my purpose in these podcasts is to help you to do something, hopefully, that you're really interested in doing, and that is becoming an author. So I'm very excited about it. And there is a degree of work that you have to put in, as I indicated, And there are certain principles that you have to use in order to be successful, not only in becoming an author, but becoming anything of significance in business. And I've identified these components as the three P's of success. And they are purpose, product, and process. The first one, purpose, has to do with your natural talent, things that you are interested in doing. We're all born for a purpose. We're all born with certain talents. And what I'd like to mention to you at this point is the definition of kind of a complicated word. It's not used very often, but the word is proclivity. Now, the definition of proclivity is a tendency to choose or do something regularly, or a tendency to like a particular thing. And in order to be successful at anything, you have to, first of all, like doing it. And if you like doing it, chances are you will do it continually, consistently. And the fact that you are listening to this podcast, this particular podcast, shows me that you have an interest. You have an interest in writing. You have an interest in stories. Personally, I like a good story. It's just like a movie. I like a good movie. And especially since I've retired from teaching, I've had the time to put into writing. And I won't be deceptive with you. You will need the time. But again, if it's something that you like to do, and I assume that you like to write or would like to write, you just can't figure out how you can do it. As I said earlier, when I talk to most people about writing or possibly becoming an author, they think that it's very, very hard, when it's not. But you do have to go through a series of things that will lead to your success. And the first thing you already have, and that is an interest. As I said, you wouldn't be listening to this podcast if you were not interested in becoming an author. The fact of the matter is, we can look at different personalities to understand how an interest in something can really pay off. For example, the Williams sisters, and they're playing tennis at a very, very high level for a number of years, is a result of obviously their interest in playing the game. They had to learn the game. Fortunately, they had a father who taught them the game at an early age. And so sometimes, even if you have an interest in something, you have to be taught so that your skills can be refined in that particular area. And certainly this is what they have done over the years. And we all can see the product of that work that they put in. Again, you need the commitment. Well, in our case, as far as these podcasts are concerned, you do have a vehicle by which you can express your interest. You can express your talent. And by saying that, I'm moving into the second aspect of being successful, the second of the three P's, and that is product. And you need a product in order to utilize your talent. And what I mean by that is the fact that you need to have an avenue where you can utilize whatever you're interested in, whatever your talent might be. For example, you can purchase a new automobile, but if you don't have sufficient roads to drive and maneuver that automobile on, then it will not be of much use to you. And by the same token, you need a vehicle or an avenue by which you can utilize your talents. And guess what? That's what these podcasts present. An avenue by which you can maneuver your interests in writing so that you will become successful. Not only that, but you will have my experience. As I said earlier, I have a background in teaching, and one of the things I did a great deal of when I taught at the college level was to write a whole lot. I wrote peer review articles, I wrote grant proposals, and I was not successful, by the way, in some of the writing that I did. I had to rewrite. I would get comments back from agencies saying that I needed to do this, I needed to do that, but I was willing to do that. And again, commitment comes up. And if I were not committed at that particular time, then I would not have done that. But I was committed, and I was interested in becoming successful. And I was quite successful when I was doing that, when I was writing proposals and writing peer review articles and being a teacher. But that career is over now, but the same can be said by the things that can be a result of writing professionally, becoming an author. And you have to put in the work. And then, speaking of work, it leads us to the third aspect, the third P of being successful, and that is process. And you do have to have the time, of course, as I mentioned earlier, but with that time, you have to put in the work. You have to be committed, committed to time and effort, as is said sometimes. So again, the three P's of success: purpose, product, and process. And if you utilize those three aspects, you can be very successful in becoming an author, and I'm willing to help you in doing that. We'll return with our story of the week after another break. Stay with us. Welcome back. Everett had done what he thought was right by disregarding his own desire in order to help all the players on the football and basketball teams. It was an admirable gesture, but it did not alleviate Everett's desire to see his sports idol. Little did Everett know that the school's administration had started the process of bringing Larry, his basketball idol, to the hospital without his knowledge. And as time went by, Everett became more preoccupied with his teammates and high school friends who would come by to see him at least once and often several times per week. After all, he had learned in Sunday school as a kid that it is better to give than to receive. So Everett was content in giving back to the community and in particular to his high school, even as he continued to work towards his own healing. One of the things that Everett had a habit of doing was giving away his contact information. He would place his cell phone number and email address on some very attractive business cards. Everett's business cards were unique because they had an impression of his basketball idol, Larry Jones, going up for a shot against another talented player in the background. Everett had first given this card to hospital staff in hopes of them contacting Larry to increase the likelihood of Larry visiting him in the hospital. While Everett had forfeited an official trip of Larry visiting him through the Fulfill a Dream Foundation, he still thought about the possibility of seeing his sports hero one way or another. The hospital staff sent one of Everett's cards to Larry in hopes that he might consider coming without the sponsorship of the foundation. So everyone at the hospital, including Everett, kept a slim hope that maybe he would come. As fate would have it, Larry did get the card, and it so happened that his team would be playing the New York Nabbers, the local professional team, on a Friday night. Larry's team, which was based out of Minnesota, was in town that day for the only time they were scheduled to play the Nabbers that season. Ordinarily, Everett and his teammates would travel down the interstate from Whiteville to the city to see that game. But unfortunately, Everett was in no condition at this time to travel anywhere, much less make the one-hour trip to New York City to see his hero. Larry and his teammates were going to stay in the Big Apple over the weekend. Normally, Larry would have some fun in the city after the game and spend some time with his wife, visit his favorite restaurant, and attend some parties. But he recalled Everett's business card, and when he read his story in the local newspaper, that did it. A bigger thrill for Larry in his mind would be to visit one of his fans, like Everett, in the hospital. He believed that this would cheer him up a little bit. Yes, Larry felt compassion for Everett, who was stricken by a horrible disease. Larry's friend, James Porter, an assistant coach with the Atlanta professional team, was in town scouting Larry's team prior to his team meeting them on the court the following Monday. Larry knew that James would be in town and had called him a week earlier to see if he would go with them to see Everett on the Saturday following the game, the previous night, when his team would be playing. Larry knew his friend James, who did not share his compassion for Everett, wouldn't necessarily be interested in going with him. So Larry decided to make a deal with James. He said to him over the phone, "Hey James, I know you kind of frosty to the idea of going with me to visit this kid in the hospital. So I'll make a deal with you. If we win the game on Friday, then you'll agree to go with me. But if we lose, then I'll do what you really want to do after the game, and that is to spend time together with our wives instead on the Saturday after the game that Friday night." James replied, "Well, okay, I'll agree with that." At that point, Larry said, "Great." Then he thought to himself, "If we lose, I'll just have to find the time to visit Everett at some other time without James going with me." But Larry's team ended up winning the game, and immediately afterwards, Larry came over to James, who was sitting not very far from the Nabbers team bench. He was very jovial as he approached his friend. Larry greeted James and was going to remind him of the proposition that they had made. "Hey, James," Larry greeted him. James responded before Larry could finish. "Hello, Larry, and I know what you're going to talk to me about." Even before Larry could remind him of the agreement, James blurted out, Yes, I'll go with you to Whiteville to see this basketball player you were talking to me about." "Then great, old buddy. I appreciate that," Larry replied. The plan, as Larry designed it, was for James and him to have a quick breakfast at a local eatery later Saturday morning, and afterwards make the hour's drive to Whiteville and to Drury Hospital to surprise Everett. Larry believed that their wives would understand their venture up to Whiteville. They had talked about doing some shopping among themselves anyway that day. Larry rationalized that he and James could travel to Whiteville to see Everett and then return to the city later that night and still have some fun with their wives before going to bed. The both of them really anticipated the drive to Whiteville to see Everett, especially Larry. It would end up being the shock of a lifetime for Everett, as well as for his teammates. Let's take a break and we'll be right back. Welcome back. It was a bright, clear morning in New York City, the morning of Larry's and James' trip to Whiteville to see Everett. Larry arose from his bed and was still excited from the victory his team had over the Nabbers the previous night, and was aware of the arrangement he had made with his friend James. He had called him to determine where they would have breakfast and to establish a time when they could make the drive from the city up to Whiteville on the interstate. Larry and James did come together Saturday morning and had breakfast at a local diner, then drove the 90 miles up the interstate to Whiteville. They arrived at the hospital shortly before noon and came in the front entrance. Once inside, the receptionist, being a basketball fan, recognized the two of them immediately and was amazed at their presence. "Oh, my! It's two basketball players that I see all the time on TV," she said out loud. Then she quickly composed herself and remembered the hospital's effort to get Larry here to see Everett. To have another sports legend like Larry Jones and James Porter here as well would be icing on the cake for Everett, she thought. Being thrilled at their presence, the receptionist knew they were there to see Everett, so she told them where Everett's room was. Needing to observe hospital visitation protocol, she called Everett to inform him that he had visitors at the front desk. But Everett was hesitant about seeing visitors at that time because he had just eaten a late breakfast and just wanted to rest before an important medical procedure that was scheduled for that afternoon. Everett knew the importance of the procedure because his mother had informed him earlier in the week of the details, but he still found time to entertain members of his school's basketball team, who collectively had decided to pay him a visit just prior to lunchtime. The captain of the team told Everett they would have practice later that afternoon. On this day, Everett was content in spending the rest of the time before his procedure, resting and being with his family. Let's take another break, and we'll be right back to finish the show. Welcome back. A lot was going on for Everett that morning. He wanted only to be with his teammates and his mother, and he really looked forward to a visit from his Aunt Velma. Everett put a lot of pressure on the receptionist to identify who the visitors were who wanted to see him. She was among hospital staff who would make sure that it would be a total surprise to Everett to see his idol. So when the receptionist was on the phone with Everett, she certainly didn't want to be the one who would reveal the identity of these players. She continued to encourage him to receive these visitors. After realizing that the receptionist would not give in to his request to turn the visitors away, he told her to send them up. At that point, she gave Larry and James permission to go to Everett's room. Larry and James were directed to the nearest elevator where they proceeded to go up three floors and then navigated their way where Everett was. Meanwhile, Everett had returned to talking with his teammates, trying to encourage them to have a good practice that afternoon in preparation for their next game the following Monday night. But make no mistake, Everett would finally be rewarded for his selflessness in caring for others, notably his teammates as well as his high school. Well, so much for now. We'll be back the next time for the conclusion of this story. Until then, remember, whatever you may be going through, whether good or bad, just keep in mind that there's always more good things coming your way. We'll see you next time.